Hi, Jim.
Hey.
Okay, we have to keep 6 feet from each other? Is this how it goes?
Ideally, yeah.
Ideally, yeah.
I'm gonna take my shoes off.
Yeah, that sounds good.
And I'm just gonna leave the bags there.
Okay, can I touch the bag?
Yeah.
Do I need to Lysol the bag?
If we had that much Lysol, I would give it a shot, but we do not.
But we don't, okay. I have my actual recorder on. We're gonna do a little setup. Jim, we're going outside. Okay, so we're gonna walk.
Where you wanna walk?
Well, I already tried the stores on that street, so let's walk this way. Okay, so here we are. I'm Catherine, you're Jim.
Hey.
For anyone who's listening to this for the first time, we're journalists at The Atlantic, and I'm a podcast producer, and introduce yourself just in case people are hearing this for the first time.
I'm a writer and a doctor, and it is Sunday, and in the early afternoon, and we are walking in Brooklyn.
Yeah, so we're taking a walk, even though I have some anxiety about being outside, as does Jim, I think. Do you?
I don't have anxiety about walking around outside. No, I mean, people need to move and see the sun a little bit, but I would try to avoid any really crowded areas.
We're going to avoid crowded areas. And I need a few more supplies. Like, I went on a run the other day as instructed by you, but I failed to obtain toilet paper, so, because it's out. So I'm gonna try to find some sort of paper good. There's the subway, still running.
Yeah, the trains are still...
People are still in the park. Everything's fine. So is this, I guess this is a question for you, Jim. Like, we're walking around, everybody's outside, which is comforting to me, because I'm like, oh, everything's fine and normal. But what do you see when you're looking at, like, all these kids playing in the park and, yeah, what do you see?
I don't know. You can't tell kids not to play in the park right now. It's not I'm not in a position to tell kids to not leave the house.
Right. I guess, what is your level? I mean, do you find it?
I'm not.
Nothing.
The problem is we just don't know, and things could get really bad really quickly here, and it will seem in retrospect, like, what were we doing? Why did we not immediately, like, tell everyone that they definitely should not leave the house for any recreational purpose? But that's not what we're doing right now, and hopefully we don't regret that.
Can I just ask you a couple rapid-fire just, like, questions that are on my mind, and then we can talk about a few things? I think I still don't have a true, full understanding of what it is. Like, I understand it's a virus that's transmitted quite easily through breath and coughing and stuff. But other than that, I don't really... Could you just put it in context a little bit, scientific context?
Right. These are viruses that cause... There are seven known coronaviruses that infect humans. Four of them cause more cold-like symptoms, and two of them existed before this year and were considered novel coronaviruses. They came from animals, and they crossed over into us, and they caused really severe bad disease, SARS and MERS. And they killed a high percentage of the people they infected, but they were able to be mostly contained, and the overall number of deaths and cases has been... is already much, much higher for this new virus than for either of those diseases. And this is a third novel coronavirus, and it's right in a sweet spot of things that are extremely concerning, which is that it's highly transmissible and that it has a high case fatality rate. So if a virus kills, you know, 60% of the people it infects, it doesn't travel very far because people are really sick at home in bed or they're dying. And if a virus kills, or if a virus is super, super transmissible, that's kind of where it usually wants to be, is like, has you out and about coughing and sneezing, but not super, super sick.
Right.
And this can do both.
It feels really good to be outside in the sun. It's a beautiful day. Look at this. There's like these beautiful pink buds on this tree. I guess it's a very weird feeling right now because it's like, the moment before something happens and you don't know how bad it's going to be. And so it feels like every, you know, look at these gorgeous flowers. And then they're like kids playing in the park, and then you're like, wait, are we gonna, what's about to happen? Like, it feels very, normal life feels very ominous right now. And I guess one thing I'm wondering is, like, what is your sense of what the next week will look like? I know it's impossible to really predict, but, like, can you give us some sense of range and range of possibilities, maybe?
Well, what we're trying to avoid is a situation where everyone, tons of people get really sick and go to the hospital. And so the next week we'll probably see increasing amounts of shutdowns and directives to stay at home and thoughts about emergency preparedness. I know Governor Cuomo today wrote in the Times that he was urging President Trump to invoke the military to help set up places, among other things that we really need for places for people to go and, you know, supplies and to ensure food and shelter for people who are going to need it. I think something we're not talking about a lot is the fact that the rest of disease, all the other problems are going to continue to happen. People still need to go to the hospital for heart attacks and cancer and
I have several friends who are pregnant right now. Like,
right.
Like, pretty pregnant.
Right.
Like, giving birth next month.
So the hospitals are canceling, you know, elective procedures, but stuff like that is going to go on. We cannot have, if you get overloaded, it's not just that everyone who has COVID-19 will maybe not get treated. It's that other urgent things will not get the attention that they need. How are your friends feeling about their pregnancies?
Freaked out.
Yeah.
Super freaked out.
Right. I mean, I think the chief concern there is just that there might not be the level of attention and care able to be given that would be in normal times.
Right. Can you tell me what we know about pregnancy and coronavirus?
I don't feel qualified on that right now.
Really?
Yeah,
it's just not known.
I can't even keep up with everything because you have all these different countries and all these different angles and all these different responses and stories and all the different studies. Like, every medical journal right now is just study after study about this, and that's good, but yeah. you'd have to be just reading.
We don't know. Basically, there's not like a consensus line on what the interaction with pregnancy
is. I don't even know. I just have not read about it.
Got it. Okay, so we'll keep you updated as we know.
Yeah, no, that's a great thing. We should dig into that.
Yeah. I think we so if anyone who's listening is curious, we'll follow up on that. I keep hearing people say that they're like, you know, France is like 6 days ahead of us. Italy is 11 days ahead of us.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
There are these predictable curves about how this spreads. And it is going to pass through a population, and different approaches have shown different rates of transmission. But once you start to see this curve going up, it's pretty generally reproducible among countries that are...
Let's go down this street. Let's walk in the
taking side. Similar approaches. Like, China really can't be taken as a model because no one else has done all the same stuff that they have. And when you start to see case numbers increasing, you can model it out such that we're on a course right now, if things don't change, where we'll see millions of cases.
And millions of cases is a worst case? That's bad. Really bad.
There are going to be millions of cases.
There are going to be millions of cases.
I don't...
Period.
If we don't... I don't see a way that some of the most conservative models, if we just really shut down everything, just really shut down society, we could keep it lower. If we just really, really shut everything down until we get a vaccine, which is 12 to 18 months, we might see the most optimistic projections I've seen are death counts in the thousands.
And it just like takes a year to develop a vaccine. So for the next year, something, like, life is not going to be normal no matter what.
Well, that's what I don't... Yeah, I think that's what people need to understand is, like, things are just going to happen slower. And if you... We're going to have to keep it... all kinds of these public gatherings and
You're not having a wedding for the next year.
Unless, well, if we go through a catastrophe in the next 4 months and 70% of New York gets infected and we have a, you know, it's a crisis, a national disaster, like, yeah, I mean, then by winter time, we'd actually, the surviving people would be, there would be not a chance.
Weddings galore.
Twice.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I'm not saying that. You'd still want to be, but yeah, we don't want that to happen. I think that would destroy so
no,
much
obviously.
Of the city.
Obviously. Yeah. But, to be
but,
clear.
Well, but so that's what I'm
this
saying.
Is
this
not
is a longer
preferred.
Term thing. This is not, that's why if you hole up and you're like, I'm not even going to go for a walk right now, I think that'll have serious.
Look, more buds. This is another purple or pink tree.
Yeah.
Just this is something that's helpful to me is just noticing
that
because it's spring.
Yeah. You have
it's
to
so beautiful.
Stay sane because this is not a 2 week thing. And we're going to have to think about these things for a long time if we are indeed effective at the social distancing.
Yeah. Let's go this way.
Is this changing your time outlook on what you were expecting here?
What do you mean?
For how long all this would...
For how long this was going to last?
Yeah.
No, I think I understand. Well, I guess... No, I understand. I mean, I've heard, yes, that this is going to go on for months. I guess the idea of it going on for a year, I just assumed sort of like, we'll have to figure something out. Like, it's not going to be just a year no matter what. So, I guess this is a little longer. But I guess the no matter what, it's like partly the time horizon, but it's also partly what will that look like? Like, what will that year look like?
Yeah.
It's going to look so different, even if it was just
a few
months,
depends.
Right?
It totally depends how effective our strategies are.
How would you say we're doing right now?
We'll know more once we have more testing.
Yeah.
I think we are being callous and cavalier in terms of how many people are still going out to restaurants and bars right now compared to what we've seen in the rest of the world. And those shutdowns will probably be coming real shortly, but they definitely just... They just have to be accompanied with some package of payments to the restaurant owners and the staff. You can't just say, hey, sorry, close your business indefinitely.
Well, okay, so we're about to walk into Whole Foods right now. We're here. Like, are we being irresponsible?
No.
No? We just have to be careful?
Yeah, keep your distance in here. Be vigilant. Don't touch things you don't have to.
Okay, let's walk around. See if they have toilet paper?
I wouldn't just wander around. Let's know where we're going and what we're doing.
So minimize our amount of time in here. You don't have to come in with me if it's like an actual risk. I can just go look for myself.
Do they let you record in there?
I don't care.
All right, you go in there. I'll wait out here.
Wait, so you're waiting out here?
Yeah, I would
you
have
just...
fewer people in there than...
Okay, I'm going by myself.
The fewer, the better.
Okay, well, got it.
Yeah.
No worries. Okay. Jim won't come in with me. Which is fair. It is packed. Completely packed. Wow, this actually is a little scary because it is... it's like a... Yeah. Y'all haven't seen any toilet paper, have you? So it must be here.
Who are you with?
The Atlantic.
Okay, you can't do that here.
Okay.
They have it?
Okay.
No, they don't have it.
Here's my update. You want to keep walking?
Yeah.
My update is, let's walk over that way, though. Let's just walk down here.
We can talk to random people here if you want.
Huh?
We can talk to random people here.
Well, they told me to stop recording inside.
Yeah.
Here, why don't we sit by the... Let's just go sit for a second. I think there's some benches down
there.
Is that okay? And then you can go on?
Yeah.
Is that okay?
It is okay.
You should probably stay away from me because it was packed in there.
Because what?
Packed, and I had no choice but just touch a bunch of stuff.
So there was no toilet paper?
No, but there was tissue paper. I mean, tissue.
You know what? There's a bench over there.
Okay, let's go. I am going to try to stay away from you. Because it actually was kind of scary. Like, it's packed. Okay, so the thing I'm going to do is try to stay kind of far away from you right now, I guess.
Yeah, I think if you don't need to be... Well, the distancing idea right now in terms of physical closeness is that you just kind of keep it with
a relatively small crew.
Right.
Like if you're a...
Like don't go to the Whole Foods and walk through and like bump into a bunch. Don't do that.
Yeah. If it's not to say that people can't, you know, be close with their partners and family members. But if there are opportunities to keep a little distance, that's better than not.
So,
can we talk though about the levels of fear that you saw in there?
Zero.
Panic. See, I think you had this sort of prepper panic buying stage that was happening over the last 2 weeks. Uh-huh. And now there's more, the people who are out there, who are out and about, are kind of in the middle range where they're not really panic buying.
Yeah, they're just getting like fruit.
Yeah.
I mean, the paper goods aisle is, you know,
there's
decimated.
No toilet paper, right?
There's no toilet paper.
Yeah, yeah. We need to figure something out with that.
I mean, but I got tissue paper, so it's fine.
Maybe Americans will finally start to embrace the bidet. We've been so reluctant.
Well, can we walk back and keep talking about... Or do
Yeah, I'm just enjoying sitting in the sun.
Oh, well, no, then let's sit here. No, I'm enjoying it too. I didn't know that you were...
No, it feels so nice to be out in the sun. And, you know, there are all kinds of out-of-the-box solutions that that we'll have to draw on from global health and from history to help contain this. But one of the things that we've learned from tuberculosis and other highly infectious diseases that really got out ahead of us were that sometimes open windows and sunlight were actually important parts of how and where we would hold our clinics and our screening facilities. And if there was, it's not like sun is going to kill everything, but
but is it also a matter of sort of mental health and stuff?
Well, that too, but it is actually viruses are killed by ultraviolet light. I'm not saying that going outside in the sun is going to sterilize you fully, but if you start to think about things that have even a 10% decrease in I don't know, like tiny things that we could do by moving care outside in the summer when possible, or things like that. That's what I'm looking into right now, just really.
Interesting.
I don't want to get ahead of anyone, but like with any, I'm just making the point that all the orders to like stay inside, don't leave and all that are going to be counterproductive in some ways too.
Right. Like the point is stay away from other people.
Right.
And be careful what you touch. But like being outside, period, by itself is not a danger.
No, I think this is one of the, these are going to be, especially as it warms up, like parks and public spaces, as long as they're not overcrowded, are going to be some of our most necessary tools. Because if people aren't hanging out in restaurants and bars and coffee shops and museums and all the, everything else is closed, you still need to get out and move your body around and see people.
So we could potentially like go to the, like a group of friends and I could go to the park and hang out like at a kind of distance from each other and like it would be fine?
I think, well, for right now, I mean, we're saying small gatherings of like less than 10 people is certainly fine. And if you're, you know, when you're at Prospect Park and people are having picnics and you're sitting on the lawn, unless you're like lying all over each other, I don't see a reason to not do that right now.
Okay.
Do you know flattening the curve? Everybody
yeah,
knows.
Yeah, I do.
Now. It's like, yeah.
But just in case anybody doesn't know it, what's the summary?
A week ago, people did it.
I'd only heard about it like 2 days ago.
Well, these things follow a curve. The growth follows a curve and starts going up really, really rapidly. And the curve being the number of cases. And it starts going up really, really rapidly. And then you have the catastrophic emergency disaster scenarios when it gets too high, where you overloaded not just the healthcare system, but, you know, ability to food, give people food. Toilet paper is already apparently being tested, but a lot of other supply chain stuff being tested. And so if you can flatten that out and we can all just get sick over a longer period, you know, we'll be better off. But
so as opposed to like everybody getting sick all at once,
right?
Sort of spread it out over time.
That's...
and delay infections till later, so that the healthcare system isn't overwhelmed, which could mean people couldn't get the best care possible and we would have more deaths overall.
Yeah. Right.
So what's happening in Europe? Can you give me the summary?
In all of Europe? No, they're just shutting down because they're already seeing they're seeing this exponential growth at a rate that was clearly going to be unsustainable, and so radical shutdowns have gone into place.
Such as what does radical shutdown mean? Yeah, we can wait for them.
Never know. What's happening in France and Spain at this moment, I don't know exactly, but people are getting orders to bars, restaurants being closed, big gatherings being obviously banned, schools being closed, and people being told to not leave their house. And that seems clearly like the direction every country is effectively eventually going, and so that I don't see any reason to think that wouldn't be happening in the United States real soon.
Within a week?
Yeah, probably.
Within a week, bars and restaurants may be ordered to close.
I would be surprised if that weren't the case, because, well, I don't know. We're a unique country with different values, but and it could be difficult to make an order like that if you're not promising to compensate and take care of the business owners and workers.
Right. I mean, this is kind of a moment, it seems, where in the sense that we are a collective, like, we are gonna have to decide how committed we are to individualism, right?
Yeah, in the temporary, in the short.
I mean, that's such a big part of our mythology, and just like, you know, everybody on their own. But this is a challenge which cannot be. It just, by its nature, has to be a collective response.
Yeah, you cannot do this alone. And the people who are at highest risk are actually, obviously, what's the average age of our senators right now? So I think you might see action that's more immediately taken and urgently understood than at other times.
So this is what I don't understand, though. If we're, as they say, like a week or 2 weeks behind Europe, then we can see our future pretty clearly.
Right.
Why aren't we just immediately doing exactly what they're doing?
Well, we believe ourselves to be exceptional. I really think that's it. And there's a total misunderstanding of that. You might be a billionaire with a bunker where you feel equipped to hide out in Aspen for 2 weeks or whatever, and that you do not understand that this is not a 2-week problem. You're going to be, it's going to just affect everything for a long, long time. And if you manage to hide out for 2 weeks, what are you going to do? Just go back to normal life? At what point? You're going to be surrounded by people who have this for a very long time. Even if we don't flatten the curve, even if half of New York gets infected this month and lots of people die unnecessarily, half of the people are still not. There's still going to be people out there who are infectious, and you're still going to be at high risk of getting sick.
I told you this morning, I took your advice to call my friends yesterday and to connect with people who I hadn't talked to in a long time. I called my parents. I yelled at them to stay home. I called my brother, who's a bartender, and I don't know what to tell him because that's not an option. But I also called a friend of mine I haven't talked to in a long time, and turns out her husband has coronavirus and they're quarantined.
Wow. And how is she not getting coronavirus?
She says it's a mystery, and the CDC is, like, very perplexed.
But she's been tested, and...
She's been tested, and she's negative. Do you want to talk to him tomorrow, maybe?
If they'd be willing to share their experience, that would be great. I would love to hear from more people who are figuring out how to... Or just what's going on in their head. I don't have the solution for most of this stuff, but I'd like to know more about what they're thinking.
Okay, why don't we call them tomorrow?
See you.
Okay, all right. I guess we can walk back together, but...
Well, if you want to keep recording, that's okay.
We'll keep recording just in case there's anything.
My dad just sent me podcast ideas.
What are they?
How long does the virus stay viable on a given surface? And that's what so many people are asking me, but it always matters exactly what the surface is and exactly how much was there, right? So if I'm super infectious and I'm
and my hospital bed might get completely soaked in virus as I'm coughing and sneezing all over the table tray next to my bed. And that might linger there for much longer than if I was sort of infectious and I touched a button on an elevator, you know? And it may or may not linger. There may or may not have been tiny amounts that got on there in the first place. So anyway, I think the working presumption that's safest is many hours to 2 days. But I'm also just operating under the idea that you just think about it, the default assumption that in high touch public areas that it is there and behave accordingly.
Okay, so like from a few hours to 2 days, depending on the surface.
That's the understanding.
If you're in a public space, assume it's there.
Sure.
Okay, what's next?
Can pets spread the virus? Not that we know of right now. That's something a lot of people are asking about and wondering, but part of what's novel about this virus and why it's so dangerous is it just came to us from bats, and that doesn't
happen. Isn't it so sinister that, why did it have to be bats? Like, couldn't it have been something less alarming?
Yeah, you know,
Also, why aren't we calling this the bat flu?
Well, because other ones have come from bats, and they have lots of other coronaviruses that microbiologists who study this sort of stuff have said, yeah, they would be really catastrophic if any of these ever transferred into humans, and now it has happened.
Here we are.
But it's not without the realm of possibility, but this is all to say that the crossing of species is not an extremely common thing such that we expect dogs and cats to have it.
Got it. So best advice now, don't worry about your pets.
Right.
Thanks for going on a walk with me.
Oh yeah, it was fun. I'll see you later.
Okay, I hope you have a good, fun afternoon. See ya.